You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
He made the declaration, it'll always happen. By his stripes, you are healed. It doesn't matter what condition you have, he already said it. It's summer now. And some stores have already put out school supplies. What do they say? We are in July. School doesn't start till September. They have already started putting out school supplies. Stephanie's getting ready to have something dealing with school and education in July. Why? Because we know it's coming. Why? God said so. You walked into this place hoping you'd be healed, but you don't hope the fall is coming because God said the fall is coming. Well, I'm here to tell you God said you're going to get healed. And there ought not be any qualms in your mind. Nothing should argue. You ought to be as sure of your healing as you are about fall coming. Stevie Wonder is getting a kidney transplant. He was telling people at his concert, he said, I have a donor, and he said this four times, all is well, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. Now, he didn't address Jesus, so I'm going to jump out on a limb and say he hasn't been born again yet. But he says, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, all is well. And he doesn't have the access that you and I have. We have a doctor that will not give you a bill when he's finished. We have a doctor who does not have to consult with anybody else. We have a doctor who can give you new parts from his own warehouse. We have a doctor who has never lost a patient. Watch, watch, watch. Go back in your Bible and read this. Nobody ever died in Jesus' presence. Even Mary and Martha said, if you had been here, Lord, help me. That means the closer you get to him, whatever's sick got to be healed. Whatever, because nothing can stay sick in his presence. When he cursed the fig tree, it couldn't die till he left. So then you ought to know that if you stay in his presence, healing is going to be yours because that healing comes off of him. Glory to God. You're going to be healed. Lord, have mercy. But you got to believe. You got to believe. Now, there's something about believing. You Sixer, Philly, and Eagles fans know about believing. Journey said, don't stop believing. So you Sixer fans, y'all been believing since 1982. You Eagles fans, you were believing since the 50s and 60s. You finally got yourself a Super Bowl. And then they went right back to the flesh. After you have worn their jerseys. I never forget that. Where the other one? She ain't there. They wearing them jerseys in my church. This is a cowboy church. Hold it, hold it, hold it. You do understand I'm God's anointed man. But the point I'm making is believing. When the Phillies signed that outfielder for $330 million, Deacon Bill came over here, saw me walking down the aisle, came over here, shook my hand and said, we're going to get ready for the parade on Broad Street. They just signed this guy. He believed it. So much so that he came over to prophesy. He believed it. In 1969, the Mets won the World Series, and Tug McGraw threw a strikeout, fell on his knees, and said, "You gotta believe." And they won. We don't believe God that way. We hope he'll do it like that man. If you can do anything, Holy Father. We think God is moved by those condescending words. Holy Father, thou who wast, is, and soon to come. I'm asking you, Father, if you just stretch forth your hand. God said, no, I need bold people like the Syrophoenician woman who says, I ain't moving till you touch me because I know you can. I didn't come here to leave sick. I came here to be healed. So I'm not walking out sick. Father, at the very least, I'm walking out of here with the healing beginning. And every day, I'm going to praise you till it manifests itself. Every day, I'm going to worship you till it manifests itself. My speech is going to be positive. My mind is going to be positive. My soul is going to have joy because you can't lie. If you can believe. You say, hold on, preacher. I believe. No, you don't. We ain't there yet. That's the third passage. We ain't there yet. Your belief has been given to you. You must believe. You believe? Really? Really? I'm a pragmatist. You don't believe? Really? Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Watch this. You said you believe? Okay, we'll see. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years, she suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather she grew worse. See there? She kept putting her faith in people, and she was getting worse. That's what happens because people are limited. You understand? You can take everybody to their end. Doesn't matter because human beings have an end. So Mark loves telling this story. Luke doesn't tell it like this because Luke's a doctor. But Mark tells the truth. So does Luke. He just doesn't give total revelation. She spent all she had and was not better, but she grew worse. When she had heard, perfect indicative, that meant that she heard to the point of having something done. She believed when she heard. Now notice how he writes this. In verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the crowd from behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now listen carefully. Because for so many years in my evangelistic and preaching efforts, I preached this message and I would always say that Jesus had so much anointing in him, it went on into his clothes. Last week, the Holy Spirit said, don't say that anymore, it's a lie. I said, wait a minute. She said, I got to touch his clothes. I said, you can't tell me that this is a lie. You didn't go to school. This woman touched his clothes because the clothes were representative of his priestly position. He had on a prayer shawl, and she said, if I can just touch that, which was my link to the covenant. But it says here, she said, if I can touch his clothes. And notice this. It says, when she did that, from verse 27, and go right to 29, straightway the fountain of her blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about and said, who touched my clothes? Now, that further solidified for me that there was something in the clothes. because he said, who touched my clothes? Holy Spirit said, no, she did not get healed because she touched his clothes. She was healed because she believed, if I make contact, I'll get my healing. When you believe, you set a point of contact. If you really believe, you say, when I come in this church tonight, sit in my chair and lift my hand to praise him, I'm going to get healed. You got to give God something to work with. God doesn't move in absentia. God needs you to participate. You say, God, I believe I'm going to get healed. And to show you I believe, I am going to praise you like I lost my mind. Yeah! Man comes to Jesus. The Bible said he had a withered hand. That means the muscles had begun to shrink. When the muscles began to shrink, it pulls the joints in. So his hand is compacted. He walks up to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looks at him, this just aggravates me. Jesus says to the man, stretch forth your withered hand. Now, why didn't he just say, stretch forth your hand? Because he knew the man was so conscious about the hand that was withered, he wouldn't have stretched it. He would have just stretched out the good one like all of you do. But Jesus said, I want the withered one. Push it out there. Now, what did Jesus speak to? Jesus spoke to the parasympathetic nervous system that is responsible for extending the fingers. Jesus didn't speak to the hand. He spoke to the cause for why it was withered. The man believed him and stretched out his hand. Jesus never touched him. He stretched out his hand as the point of contact. I am going to stretch out my hand because you told me what to do. I'm going to stretch out my hand, and the Bible said he was healed. What is God telling you right now as I speak? The woman established a point of contact. Do you understand that the Bible says if there's any sick among you, here's your point of contact. Call the elders. Lord, help me. And they are going to come. And they are going to anoint you with oil. There is no power in the oil. It is in the point of contact. It is in the fact that the officials of the church have come to your house to lay hands on you, and your healing is part of that action. Now watch, I'm almost done. This is the last one. Glory to God, there's healing in this house. Watch, we're going to give you a point of contact in about 10 minutes. Now watch, as we continue with Mark 5, right, we got the woman who establishes a point of contact. She said, if I can touch his clothes, where's your point of contact? That would depend on who you're sitting next to. Do you feel, don't answer publicly, just say it in your mind. Do you feel the person sitting next to you has any power? I told you not to answer. Chimney crickets. That's why we can't get nowhere. We don't have no obedience. I don't want to offend anybody. So just listen to me carefully. Because if you feel that the person sitting next to you have power, you can reach over and just grab and say, touch and agree with me. I don't have to wait till pastor calls for the prayer line. You're my point of contact. In the name of Jesus, get it going. Don't have to be long, and nobody even around you has to know. Just something like, get it going. Ah, yes, sir. And then you call it done. See, we have a habit of praying without the amen. Do you know what amen means? So be it. Amen means, all right, this thing is done. As soon as you and I touch, this bad boy is finished. And when we let go of hands, amen. But see, we've been prone to wait for the servant of God. But I want to break you out of that madness. I want you to walk in and not look for the servant of God, but look for the God of the servant. And he can be in anybody. Anybody sitting next to you. Anybody sitting behind you. He said, if any of you as touching. I want to take the glory from the pulpit and put it back in the pew. I want to take the power from the preacher and put it back on the people so that you can live your life in such close proximity to God that you can touch somebody's hand. Ah! All right. Let me give you my last one. Let me give you my last one. After he reestablishes the woman's connection, he calls her daughter. She had never been called daughter over the last 11 years. She was unclean. Nobody wanted to be bothered with her. According to Ezekiel, not even her family could have anything to do with her. Jesus said, daughter, listen, when you touch Jesus, he takes you out of foster care. And some of you are sick tonight because you're not connected to anybody. You feel alone, and loneliness brings with it all types of diseases and maladies. He says in verse 35, while he yet spake to this woman, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who had already gone to Jesus and said, listen, my daughter lieth at the point of death. Now listen to the request very carefully. My daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her, and she will live. You with me? My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray, come lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Do you hear what he said? All right, keep that in your mind. He did not say to Jesus, keep her from dying. He said, come, lay your hands on her, and she'll live. The Bible says Jesus went with him. And in the course of going with him, the woman with the issue of blood slows his progress, so much so he was delayed for such a time that the little girl died. Now watch Jesus' words to this man. Verse 35, people came from his house and said, your daughter's dead. Why are you troubling the teacher any further? When Jesus heard them, he said to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. Now watch. Believe what? Believe what you asked me to do. You didn't ask me to keep her from dying. You asked me to come and lay my hands on her and she would live. And where's he going? He didn't say have faith. He said, believe that what you asked for is what you're going to get. You don't ask God to just heal you. You ask him to make you whole. You ask God not only to stop the sickness, but to put back what the sickness took away. Because I have a Joel promise that says I will restore the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and all the rest of the demonic insects have taken away. God will restore it if you believe that he can do it. I was shocked when he invaded my prayer time and said, tell my people to stop asking me to heal them and start asking me for new parts. If the worldly doctors can replace your body parts, God can make you new ones. After all, he made the original ones. You just don't believe he could do it. But if they can do it, God can do it. If they can give you a heart transplant, so can God. If they can replace your kidney, so can God. They can do it. God can do it, but you got to believe him just like you believe them. He says, don't be afraid. Tell your neighbor, don't be afraid. Some of you have conditions where the doctors have pretty much given up, but you're in here tonight. Don't be afraid. Somebody will tell you, oh, you only going because you're desperate. And where should you go? Don't you dare feel bad because you're desperate. You darn Skippy, I'm desperate. And I'm coming to the Lord. And some old Pharisee will tell you, yeah, you coming to the Lord because nothing else worked. Duh. Where should I go but to the Lord? I tried everything else. Now I'm going to try him. I've been with everybody else. Now I'm going to come to him. I've let every doctor pinch me, probe me, stick me, give me medicine. But now I'm coming for the stripes that's on his back. Put your stripes on me. Put your blood on me. Glory. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Deacon. God bless. Hallelujah. Don't you let people make you feel bad because you're desperate. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. Yay! I'm desperate for you.
We pray that you are blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title, Healing and Deliverance, or the program number 07119E. If you'd like to download today's message or any other recent sermons from Bishop Lambert, visit ericlambertministries.com for the complete digital download. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can now be viewed nationally on the Impact Network on Sunday mornings at 7:30 a.m., Comcast Channel 294. Be sure to visit BethelDeliverance.org to find out when to catch the Climbing Higher TV and radio broadcast in your area. For service times, location, and more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, go to our website at BethelDeliverance.org. Follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon continues Saturday, September 21st at 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church. The pastors will continue to explore how to craft your sermon, biblical exegesis, and professionalism in ministry. These informative sessions will equip you to walk in your call to ministry and handle the Word of God with care. If you've been chosen for ministry or desire to work in ministry, you will want to be a part of this next session. It's The Making of a Minister with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. and Pastor Brian Weatherspoon on Saturday, September 21st, 10 a.m. at Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Register now by calling 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. For more information, visit BethelDeliverance.org.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.